Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, 11:3, and the Mishnah continues to elaborate on the Zaken Mamre, this rebellious elder. So the point of our Mishnah here is going to be that in order for one to be liable as a Zaken Mamre, he has to render a decision, a hora'ah, some kind of, you know, interpretation of the Torah, which constitutes a mishpat in the context of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says it has to be a davar lemishpat, some kind of matter of, I'll call it interpretation of ruling, as opposed to something that's explicit, black and white, in the Torah. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Chomer bedivrei sofrim me bedivrei sora. It's more strict when it comes to some sort of like a rabbinic interpretation of the words of the Torah than of the words of the Torah themselves. For example, says the Mishnah, Ha'omer ein tefillin, if our Zaken ruled there's no such thing as tefillin, kadei la'avor al divrei Torah. He just says, listen, time for tefillin is over, and the Torah says put them on, but I say no, don't, or something like that. So then Pater, his interpretation says you don't have to put on tefillin is not considered a hora, it's not a ruling, because the Torah says black and white, and every school kid knows the Torah says you have to put on tefillin. It says tefillin. So it says totafot ben necha, etc. But the point is, the fact that he denies that it exists altogether in the psukim just means he's not reading the psukim, so that wouldn't be considered a hora. In contrast, if he says chamesh totafot, if he says that there are five compartments in the tefillin shel rosh, as opposed to the four which they really are supposed to be, so then since he's like altering the interpretation of the Torah and its psukim, because it's not explicit how many sections there are in the tefillin, it's learned out from like a drasha. We have a tradition, of course, that these four parshas that go in the tefillin, and that there should be like four separate parshas. So learn from the fact that the word totafot appears three times. Twice missing a vav between the pay and the tuf at the end of the word, and once with a vav. So the drasha comes out that you have these four sections, fine. If he says, no, there are five sections, laho sif al divrei sofrim, and therefore he's coming to sort of essentially add to what the rabbinic tradition is, but of course, if you're mosif, if you try to add, you're actually goreya, you're ruining it, because tefillin have five compartments, or are not kosher tefillin. So then chayib, then he'll be liable as a zaken mamre, because he is making a hora, some sort of interpretation, an interpretive ruling of the psukim, which contravenes what is a Jewish tradition and the halachic, you know, the Sanhedrin's psak. Okay. Lahalacha, it's a little complicated, because there's a number of shitas brought down in the Mishnah, in the Gemara itself, regarding what kind of horaot, what kind of rulings constitute eligibility for zaken mamre. Where the Rambam codifies it, and we'll assume that's the halacha, basically we're talking only about the Zaken Mamre ruling on something that is Zdono Karis, or Shkogos or Chatas, where if one does it on purpose, this particular issue, he'll be liable to Karis penalty, or worse, like Misa, and Shkogos or Chatas, and, you know, if he did an accident, it brings a Chatas offering. So that's only those kind of very severe infractions, those lavin, are the issues that one could become a zaken mamre. Besides for meaning, besides for that, there's also the issue of tefillin. So as the Mishnah talked about tefillin as the mitzvahs aseh are unique in as much as there's the issue of being mosif is being goreya by adding or subtracting, detracting from it, and therefore tefillin as well would be an issue of zaken mamre potentially. And when we say that it carries a penalty of karis, we mean even if it has a potential implication for karis, like for example, if the Zaken Mamre is talking about, say, how to establish the calendar with an extra month or an extra day in the month, let's say if that would sort of, you know, alter the day in which Pesach would fall out, so then of course eating chametz and Pesach as an iser that carries the penalty of karis. So therefore what he's ruling on in contravention of the Sanhedrin sort of has an implication of causing karis, so that too that will be eligible for Zaken Mamre status. But other kinds of things, like if he tells people, you know, that in the Arminim, instead of shaking a lulav, they should be taking a, I don't know what, you know, a branch from an apple tree or something, whatever, anything like that, or, you know, blowing shofar, he tells them, don't blow shofar, or blow shofar from a cow's horn, or who knows what, all those things, they don't carry with them the penalty of karas, and therefore, even if he would do that, he wouldn't be liable to the death penalty as a zaken mamre.